Five, four, three, two, one, go!
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
We made it to the end of the week, man. I'm telling you. Woo! Happy Friday to you. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day. Because, of course, y'all know I am. That's right. I'm back. That's right. And that's right, the old Mr. Talk is back. I think we done worked out these little emotional issues, medication problems, and all that other good stuff that we had to deal with. But you know what? I'm back. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, man, I am feeling wonderful today. Whoo! I'm telling you, the weather is nice. We okay. Oh, such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. All right. So let's go on and talk this thing out, right? All right. If you want to be a part of, well, my bad. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Mr. Talk. And my co-host Akeem will be along with us shortly. And we are going to give you a good show today. This show is so good today, we don't even know what we're going to talk about. That's how good the show is. I just had to put it out there. Oh, yeah. All right. So if you want to be a part of the show today, there's quite a few ways you can join us. You can call in 347-838-8622. You can email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or you can join us in our wonderful chat room where the conversation is always hot and popping. And, you know, you can interact with myself and my co-host, Cloud Nation, a.k.a. Akeem, and the rest of the crew. All thing you have to do is just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And when you log in, whatever social media site you're using, you know, just log in on that site and poop-poop-pow. You're right here in the chat room, and we can get on. Now, let me explain. You do not have to log in, but you would enter the chat room as a guest. And basically, as a guest, you have no privileges. Only thing you get to do is sit there and watch everybody else type. I mean, where's the fun in that, right? So, you know, please sign in. Oh, and everything will be gravy. Everything will be gravy. All right, I think we covered that little piece. Now, let's get somewhere else also. All right, the rules, call in, act as an adult. No talking over anyone. And that includes you that's talking. You know, something, man, what's wrong with people some days? You know, they call in and they want to be heard, but when somebody else starts talking, they don't want to let them talk. And then you got the ones that as soon as they hear a hum, they stop and start complaining. Just continue. Let me control the riffraff, okay? You just keep talking. That's my job to control that. I don't need to hear you tell me, oh, they talking over me. I hear that, okay? Let me handle it. My show. I can do this. Thank you. All right? And, of course, there's no derogatory terms used on this show and no personal attacks. There will be no hoes, bitches, fuckers, or whatever else. Now, I'm putting it out there. I know y'all like, ooh, that's messy talk. Yeah, I'm telling you straight up, will be none of that, okay? None of it. You know, let's act as adults. Let's have a conversation as adults. Yeah, I know sometimes it gets heated and certain words slide out, you know, and I may let it go once. I may. But if it becomes repetitive, oh, I got to silence you. Yeah, y'all know I got the shotgun ready. It's fully loaded today. That's right. Y'all know I got to do it to you. Okay, so, and of course, you know, no use of the N-word or the C-word or, you know, whatever y'all, the new terms y'all come up with. You know, we're not even calling nobody ratchet, okay? Uh-huh. That's right. We just going to turn it up. Ain't that what the young folks say now? Just turn it up. Like, I really know what that means. But anyway, when you hip people, y'all let me know what turn it up means. All right, but those are the rules, and please abide by them. However, you know, if you are out there and you do want to participate and call in, no problem. We welcome your calls. We turn no one away, you know, unless you have been banned from the show. And there's only one on the list right now, so you're good. So you're welcome to call in. Now, let me remind you, if you call in and you start talking like you illiterate or you have nothing better to do, I will send you back to where you came from. I won't even shoot you. I just send read. And you hear these wonderful words that I like to hear sometimes. Bye-bye. And that's it. I'm just putting it out there. So, you know, some of y'all just need to hear that. All right? All right. Now, before we go any further, I would like to have a moment of silence here. And it's for the 70th anniversary, that's right, of the D-Day landing. Oh, man, well, 160,000 Allied troops landed along a 50-mile stretch of heavily fortified French coastline to fight Nazi Germany on the trenches of Normandy Beach. And you know why I said we need to give a moment of silence? Because if you notice, all the real live active, the real witnesses, the ones that were there, you know, they're becoming real thin now. Because most of them are in their 80s and their 90s. You know, and you really have to give your hands off to those guys because, you know, there was no smart bombs and, you know, no supersonic jets and no tanks that can fire and find enemies miles away. You know, this was basically hand-to-hand at times. And, you know, I think they do deserve a lot of credit, a lot of credit. And the more I think about it, I'm like, wow. You know, and being someone who participated in a couple of wars and a couple of other things, you know, it's I respect these guys because they got off those boats charging up a hill knowing that some of them wouldn't make it, you know, and that is just amazing. And that's what you call loyalty, devotion, courage. All of them should be held as a hero because this was not this was not a pre-announced thing. You know, like we have CNN say, well, tomorrow morning the military is planning an attack. Really? You know, I think we should have a moment of silence for that and those guys. For the ones that are surviving, and the ones that have passed on. So, without no further ado, we have one moment of silence. All right, y'all. All right. That was the moment of silence right there. For the survivors and those that passed 70 years ago on that beach in Normandy, France. All right, now. I see somebody in the chat room say, what happened? Apparently, you wasn't listening. I found it out. You wasn't listening. Now, you got to go back and listen to the archives to find out what happened. Now. All right, y'all. So, you know, it's all good in the White House. And you know what? We're going to go ahead and give our shout-outs right now for those that were in the chat room at this time. We got Deep H2O, the non-intellectual one. And we got Divine Design in the house, enjoying life. We got Guest 825 and Guest 831. Welcome to the show, y'all. And for everybody else out there listening, thank you for joining us today. We are rocking and rolling. Now, y'all know it's Friday. We ready to rock and roll. Time to get busy. Time to nod your head a little bit. That's right, because I got some music for you today, and I feel like dancing a little bit. So y'all know what? It's finna get hot up in here. Huh? So, without further ado, y'all, here is your music mix.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value. When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Here comes the Astapa, I'm the lyrical gangster, big up the crew in the area.
Here comes the Astapa,
Y'all, hey, that was your Friday mix. I thought I'd just spice it up a little bit. Of course, you know, I went back a little bit to one of the old mixes I had up in there, and I thought we'd have a good time with that today. Yeah, I know some of y'all have no idea who those folks were, but it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, because I done forgot some of them too. So I know the last one was Run DMC and Slash, and then the other one was Hot Stepper, and then the first one was, I don't even remember the first one. Well, the first one was Hot Stepper, and the second one was what? Was there a second one? I probably don't think there was. Okay, anyway, I'm sure y'all can help me out with that. Like I said, it was a while ago. Oh, man, I see. All right, we got H2O putting a link in the chat room. And apparently that link works, and it keeps you from being kicked out of the chat room at the end of the regular show time. So, I would suggest you use it, and, you know, that's good. Use that address. Schedule show so people won't get booted from the chat. All right. Okay. And let's see. Oh, man. I was playing air guitar and I got tired. Wow. That must be something going on. All right. Anyway. So, hopefully says the link does not work. Well, H2O, you're going to handle that. Make sure they get the right one in there. All right. So, now it's time for me to bring my co-host in. And I see when my phone lines are kind of lighting up as I stalk. So, let me bring my co-host in, Akeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation. Yo, Cloud, what's going on, man?
Man, nothing much. Just enjoying this summer day. It's a beautiful day outside, in fact, so I am enjoying the summer.
Yeah, you better enjoy these cool days while you can. If you're somewhere like I am, well, you just know the 100 feet is coming. You know, you just have to sit there and go, okay, let's enjoy this.
Oh, well, I'm in Chirac, so.
All righty, then. I like
so we enjoy the summers.
Okay. Yeah, y'all summer only lasts about 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, it's okay, man. It's okay. All right. So, what you got for me today? Anything interesting? We can chat about.
I actually do. I got a little book that I'm reading for the month. Well, I don't know if it's going to last the whole month, but it's an interesting book called The Ascent of Money.
Mm.
Pretty cool. And it's a history. Yeah, it's a history of commerce, of money. And it was written by a guy by the name of Niall Ferguson. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. But it's also entitled A Financial History of the World. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Learned a lot. There's one particular part that stood out to me so far is it's a portion of the book that started during the time when Shakespeare was writing a lot of his literature, and it talked about the history of the Jewish community. And how I believe it was like during the 1179, around that time period, they attempted to oust them in some part of Italy, particularly the Council of Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to oust them because they didn't agree with certain ethnicity. So them and the Portuguese were getting the boot, and the Jewish community were pioneers of what they embraced as a financial institution back around that time. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. I mean, you know, it's really, really is. you know, it's wow. You know, somebody in the chat room said learn fractal banking, Cloud. Yeah. So, you know what, though? And, you know, maybe if a lot of people did read you know, get deeper into it, it probably will. It's always good to have education, you know what I mean? You know, educate yourself as what happened back when, so you know exactly what's going on now. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, because as we said before, you know, nothing is happening now, actually, that hasn't happened before. Now, the question of the whole thing is, what have we learned back? What did we learn from back then And what are we still doing that caused calamity and failure then? What's we doing right now? You know, and basically what I'm saying is, have we learned enough to get away from what destroyed it back then to now? And apparently some of the answer is no. Because, you know, we may become more technically advanced or what have you, but the outcome is basically going the same way, downhill. You know, so that's a good thing, man. You know, I tell you, I'm going to have to get that book and read a little bit myself. And H2O, you are right. The Tudors, the Templars, man, them guys, boy, I tell you, they started some stuff. You know, that's when the church and all them really became part of the banking industry per se. You know, so, man, I'm telling you, it's just something else. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and check that out. All right, y'all check that out. Okay. The Ascent of Money. All right. So let me bring these two callers in and get our chat going. All right, y'all. Today is Freedom Friday. So, you know, it is just bring it. If y'all ain't got nothing to bring, I got a couple of myself I want to talk about. So let me let these two individuals in. And we're going to start with the first 111. Who do I have? Hey. No.
Yep. Joe don't have. Hey, Cloud.
Joe didn't have the hum. I didn't hear him that time.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
You know what? I'm glad that what you did was pretty cool for that moment of silence for the World War II vets, because Normandy D-Day was a bitch.
Yeah. Hold on, Joe. Hold that thought for a moment, okay?
All right.
I got somebody else I'm bringing in. All right, 111 number two. Welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Beasley. Yeah, D-Day. That's I knew today was D-Day.
I knew today was D-Day,
and if you want to experience D-Day, just watch Saving Private Ryan and surround sound.
Okay, yeah, Beasley, hold on, because Joe was going to say something first. I brought him in first. I let him give him his chance to talk. And Beasley, you sound like you forgot your name. What's up with that?
Me?
Yeah, it sounds like you forgot your name, man.
Maybe because it's not really my name, but I didn't hear you.
Okay. And we're going to leave it at that for sure. All right. So, Joe, you have the floor. Go ahead, Mountain Man.
Yeah, so the gunboat. I was getting around to Private Ryan, because when you saw the Spielberg movie, you saw as soon as the gunboats unloaded and the doors came down that a lot of people were getting shot right in the boats.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, you had seen, you know, the anticipation of the troops, you know, knowing that they were going to go up against the beaches and knowing that they were those obstacles there to keep some of the gunboats from reaching the beach, and they knew, because they were vomiting all over the place inside the gunboats, that they were going to get shot. So they did display, you know, a huge amount of courage, you know, that particular day. And maybe you could commemorate the veterans from my era, World War One.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Your era? World War One? Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll get that in there, Joe.
When I was in the trenches.
Okay. Oh, my. Joe said he was in the trenches. All right. Mm-hmm. Air Force don't have trenches, Joe. They have offices.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. All right, Beasley. What you got, man?
No, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Private Ryan is a pretty, you know, I don't know if it's accurate, but it's definitely moving, watching those guys storm the beaches and how many of them didn't make it and what they had to go
through. Yeah, that's true. And you know what? Another good movie is Wind Talkers. You know, that's another good one also. That's Vietnam, though, but it's still a great movie. But anyway, check this out. You know, I was thinking about this as I was, you know, preparing for the show today. And a lot of experts say that is basically the only war in which Americans were actually happy about at the end. You know, because of the Vietnam War, you know, that ended in a cloud of mystery. You know, the Kuwait Gulf War, that ended kind of in the, it just didn't end, but it wasn't finished. You understand? And then this last one, these last two went on for, what, 10 to 12 years? And there's still no solution to it. So, and that was an interesting point. And my question.
Don't forget the Korean War, too.
Yeah, the Korean War. Thank you, Joe. Now, here's my question, though. See, when you get to those points, is it because the media wasn't as accessible to the fighting back then as they are now, which kind of frames what the audience is seeing? Because, you know, back then, you know, they'll get footage, but it'd be like 2 or 3 months later after it's been edited. But in today's society, you know, CNN, they embedding reporters within the units, and they reporting live right then. So do you think that was a big difference in which helped the America feel that happiness?
No, the embeddedness didn't have anything to do with America feeling happy. World War II was a war in which everybody rallied around. We knew what the outcome would be if we lost, or at least we felt it. And then when World War II was over with, we all felt that the world was safe because of our participation in helping England, primarily, defeat the Nazis and the Japanese. So we knew why we were fighting. We were attacked. It seemed to be an open and shut case. The only thing is that 50 years later, people are learning that Roosevelt knew about the attack on Pearl Harbor, and he allowed the Japanese to do it. We also learned that Vietnam was a false flag. The Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag operation. Tonkin happened, but what happened after that was that the press tried to blow it up out of proportion, and LBJ went along with it. So he allowed the Gulf of Tonkin to be the catalyst for the Vietnam War, and it shouldn't have happened that way. So, you know, our history is full of duplicity.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Who's going to say something?
No, I can.
Well, I thought I heard somebody else get ready to say something. Well, you know, I got in the chat room says, none supported the war prior to Pearl Harbor. Don't leave out the USS Liberty. Okay. All right. But then again, as Joe say, there are documents that say that this was forewarned, that knew what was happening. And you can say the same thing about basically the Gulf War and the Iraq War. But the funny thing about that is, you know, especially in Iraq, we put him in power. You know, and that's one thing we have a habit of doing, putting individuals in power, and then when they don't conform to our beliefs or wants, we come up with a great way to say, well, they're not doing this, let's go to war. You know?
That's the history.
Yeah, that's the history. And it's just amazing how, you know, we keep falling for it every time, though. You know, I think that's the strange part. We keep falling for it every time. Well, I'm not going to say we. The politicians
right.
Falling for it. Now, I'm not going to say we, you know. And, you know, but I'm going to mention something else, too. What's the back room? How's the back room handling it? You know, it's one thing to say, well, I'm for it, but are they really for it, or are they getting paid something under the table, or getting favorites handed to them because they decided to go ahead and approve action such as war?
The war machine's powerful. War is profits. And military people like engaging.
Okay.
And the politicians love it.
Whenever they get in a room full of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, whenever there's a crisis, there's always some hawk, whether he's in the Navy, the Army, or the Marines, that's talking about doing something drastic. They wanted to bomb Cuba. There always has to be a compromise because they're hawks. That's what hawks do. And do they profit from it? Probably. But I think some of them just believe in showing their might from time to time.
Mm. That's it, just showing their might. That's what it's all about.
Well, that well with some of the generals, yes, they probably feel if you don't show their might, they're going to get continually be encroached upon, and then they create wars. Wars are big profits.
Yeah, it is.
And Joe was right. Gulf of Tonkin was I read about that pretty recently. That was a complete false flag. So was the sinking of the Maine, which was the cause of the Spanish-American War in 1898.
Mm-hmm.
They
catch your breath. Catch your breath.
No, my breath is good, and then you guys wonder why someone isn't gung-ho in support of the military.
You know what?
Some of us have seen through this stuff for years and realized that there's people pulling strings and manipulating things and don't go for the okie doke.
Right. You know, and you know, I see somebody say not sure about 9/11. Yeah, 9/11 was an inside job also. Let's go on and put it on out there. It was an inside job, you know.
Alex, I'm surprised to hear you say that. I've said it, but I'm surprised to hear you say it.
What, that 9/11 was an inside job?
Yeah.
Man, you can't help but say it. The buildings came straight down like in the demolition. Then you had firefighters stating that they heard explosions going off one at a time, pop, 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 right? And then you had the owner of Building 7 say that he told them to go ahead and drop his building. Now, and that really puts some speculation in it, because how were they able to blow that building up so fast without having already set some charges in it? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was an inside job all the way. And you know what, though? And here's another question. Something else is interesting. You know, there are some literature out there that states that, you know, planes really didn't hit those buildings. So, you know, that's something else you have to take a look at. You know, but unless you were there.
There were holograms?
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that one.
Right, they brought Michael Jackson back. He was just dancing last week. Well, that's true. That is true. So, hey, anything is possible, man. When they want to build, when they want you to believe something, you know, to make it work, then, yeah, they'll create anything.
What about the people that were on the planes?
Okay, now, you go back and look at the Pentagon, right? Okay.
The Pentagon's fishy, but what about the people that were on the planes that hit the World Trade Towers?
There were never any people on that plane. That's what I'm telling you.
But the plane was a hologram, and they just timed it perfectly when the hologram crashed into the building. They blew it up right in that area right at the right time, right? Come on.
Yep. And if they want
come
to,
on.
Michael
plane, Jackson, real planes hit
on,
those
Beasley.
Buildings.
No,
it may have been an inside job. I don't know, but I can't believe that a hologram.
Okay, look. Okay, I'm gonna go with your theory, Beasley. Okay, now there are some out there that said the planes that actually hit the buildings were not commercial airplanes. There were Air Force planes. Camouflage, painted, you know, and that's what they actually used. Now,
you're talking about a massive conspiracy.
Yes.
And
I mean, why not? Why not? They did it. They performed it. They did it to make us think we went to war. Yes.
Look, I believe 9/11 was an inside job. Whether or not they're holograms, I don't know. But here's one thing which is easily proven. Those airliners, they could have been flown by remote control because I think all B-747s, 727s, 737s, they've been outfitted to be controlled by remote control. That's not a conspiracy. That's confirmed by the airlines themselves. Also, there have been air pilots who have said they could not have made the kind of turns that were necessary at those speeds, at that angle, in order to hit the World Trade Center. Now, the one fly in the ointment about the conspiracy would be, how do the charges get inside the building? Well, there's a guy who was in charge of the elevator shaft, and he said that you can go inside any of, there were stops along the way, up and down the shaft. You could have gotten inside the shaft and then proceeded upwards or downwards through the shaft without people knowing about it once you knew how to get inside. Plus, 2 years before 9/11, it was maybe a couple months, the security was run by, guess who? Jeb Bush, I believe, or Neil Bush, one of the Bush family members. Also, World Trade 7, which was shown to have had a fire down near the lobby, but certainly at the first floor, that building fell down as though it was demolished. And there was no reason for it to have fallen down that way into its footprint. Three buildings, first time in history, not just one, but three, fell down into their footprints, same time, same day. I've had subsequent fires, one in Spain, another one just a few months ago, I believe, where buildings not even made as strongly as the World Trade Center burned for like 17 hours. So I happen to believe it was an inside job. Plus, if none of that is convincing, NORAD stood down for an hour and a half. Okay? An hour and a half these planes were flying around. Now, let's say I'm off by 45 minutes. Some people might say 45 minutes, an hour and a half. I forget which. Doesn't matter. Anytime there's a plane in the airspace over the Pentagon, D.C., New York, L.A., etc., you've got planes up there in less than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Joe. That's a very good point. And here's another one. There was another Flight 93 that landed in Ohio. You know what I mean? So, this whole thing just stinks, man. But you don't see them trying to really, really investigate what happened, do you? That went by nice and quietly. Well, what's the question?
All right. So let's say that this is a inside job, and the purpose is to create a war, and also to have Americans, voluntarily give up their rights via the Patriot Act, and also another reason to create a surveillance state. Okay, so it's okay. It's like the perpetrators, the powers that be, the wicked people. They're doing this as a way to lock down and have control over the people and make a lot of profit in the meantime. Why not have another attack? It's been almost 13 years since 9/11. Why not have a succession of attacks? And I know none, and I expected other attacks because I didn't know what could happen. In 2002, 2003, I thought there could be an attack at any day. There still could be an attack at any day. But why not have a couple of other big attacks? And why not coordinate them in five places across the country all on the same day to really put a lockdown?
Okay,
If you're going to go this far to blow up the World Trade Centers and all that, why not go ahead and complete the deal and put people under martial law?
All right, I got you. And Joe is right. You don't need them. Number one, and number two, they're not going to get away with it twice like that. It's not going to happen. The American people are really on top of that kind of stuff. However, see, they found another way of doing it. You know, that's where these little mass shootings come in at. You know, they can't put fear in anybody, you know, by big attacks, because we on top of that. So now what it is, these little shootings, and I'm going to do a show on that next week, man, on the mass shootings, because, you know, that is going on now. And the only thing they're doing is preparing us for martial law. That's all they're doing. And you know, the more you say we need more guns, we need more police, blah, 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 you know, that's the way it's headed. So they just switched their attack. They didn't stop. They just switched it. That's
why
all.
Wait 13 years?
Why wait 13 years for what?
Because you still have, okay, you still have those out there that, and you will always have those that will be rebellious. So if they can get a handle on those people first to find out where all those people are, then they can go ahead and initiate their major plan. See what I'm saying? Now, if they was to try it now, it'd be too many militia groups and revolutionaries that wouldn't stand for it. And we'll have a big civil war on our hands. And they're not trying to go through that, because in actuality, you know, they would probably lose, because a lot of the military wouldn't go for it either. You know, that'd be one of the things where you see a lot of military members, you know, just turning in. So, okay, I'm not doing this, you know, because then you're attacking their families and things of that nature. So, I mean, that's my take on it, my opinion, but that's the way I see it.
Here's another thing. B, the question that you asked is actually buttressing my argument, because if Osama bin Laden was this huge threat, a billionaire who was that dedicated to bringing down the devil, namely the United States, and he tried in 93 and 98, and supposedly he was successful in 2011, in 2000, rather. I don't know, it was 2001. Then why hasn't he tried again? Because Osama bin Laden probably died around 2002, 2003. And just one false flag of that magnitude was enough to get people to, you know, conform to the agenda of PNAC. Plus, our borders are wide open, but we haven't had any attacks. That proves to me that the terror threat, there's no terror threat. The other day, Bees, you were asking about the Taliban, about how inept they were, right? And I happen to agree with you. Now, from 2001 to now, we've been in Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, Syria, and we're creating more terrorists than what happened or what existed prior to 2001. All of this is bullshit. And the technological grid hasn't been perfected yet. We haven't come to a completely cashless society. We haven't been completely surveilled yet. The drones they're talking about are going to be in operation pretty soon. Skynet will be here once the technological grid will be in place, in which they can surveil us anywhere we go. And see anybody that we want to, they can impose their lockdown on the United States. They've had their practices. In Indiana, they've practiced closing down at least one town. When Ava was around, she was telling us about that, how they just closed down the town.
Yep. You know, I mean, think about it. The Boston Bombers, they closed down a whole town, a whole city looking for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hot and popping. Okay, hold on, but I got Ebony waiting on the line. You know, so you know, before I bring her in, so basically, you know, the examples are out there as to what they're going to end up doing.
You know, another thing.
What?
Beasley agrees with us, but he's always got to bring in something controversial. You know how he is.
It's not controversial at all. You guys.
No,
I think I made a real strong question.
Biz, you know how you are.
Why didn't they continue the attacks? You could have, after the way people felt after that attack, everyone's scared and you don't know what's going to happen next. Why not have a succession of attacks and exert full control over the people? Why wait?
Because I gave you the explanation.
hold on, Joe. Hold on. I'm telling real fast, and they're going to be up. Okay, number one, Beasley, you know, the public, families got tired of seeing their sons and daughters die over some bull crap. So it just wasn't going to happen. The people weren't going to accept that anymore. You know, and plus, you know, it wasn't a good political move. You got to remember the elections and stuff were still going on. So it wasn't a good political move now after everything has been turned upside down and so much doubt has been portrayed or placed on the 9/11 disasters. Okay, so anyway, let me bring Ebony in.
No, let her wait.
Hello, Miss Ebony. How are you doing today?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Ebony.
I'm good. Happy Friday.
Hi, Ebony.
Hi. You guys good? Now I just want to say hello because it's Friday, and I just thought, happy Friday. And why are we still talking about war? Why are you guys talking about war? But okay. Just tipping in.
This is what happens when you let estrogen in. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you need some estrogen in here because there's too much testosterone floating about. Yeah, we definitely need to lighten up. But I tell you what's interesting. On Facebook, I saw today, I don't want to change the conversation, but this may change it. It might be fun. I just wonder what your take is on it, guys. But there's a woman, right? And this is on a singles group, okay? A woman of 48 years old. Put up a nude picture, okay? The whole body out. I was in shock. I nearly fell off my bed and my I nearly had a heart attack. She put the whole body out there, and she said, "I'm putting my body out here because some guy came over at her house. He was decorating, and he happened to accidentally see her, and then he told her that her body didn't look any good." So she put it up on Facebook and asked people, what do you think? 53 comments. I was like, oh, my God, what is happening to the world? What the hell is going on with women? Why would you do that? Okay?
Some people are really stupid and care what people think too much.
Yeah, what the hell is that about? Why would you do that?
it's your gender. You explain it.
I don't know. I'm in shock since I saw it. I called Vicky. I said, Vicky, have a look at this. Look at this. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. But, like, forgive me. But, like, who does that? Who puts their body out on Facebook like that and asks people, what do you think? Do I have a good body or not? And then, of course, all the guys are like, what a dress. Where do you live? Let me come round. Let me check that body out. And the thing it wasn't looking that good
either.
Yeah,
that's becoming a norm.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? You know what? I actually, you know, as somebody used to say all the time to me, she got what she wanted. She got the attention.
Yeah.
That's what she wanted. So she got what she wanted, you know. Now, you know, along with that attention, you know, she going to get attract what she put out there. So, yeah, they were coming to you know, hit it and leave. Basically, she looking for Mr. Goodbar or Daddy Rich. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she going after it. They going to come after it, and maybe she'll find gold or maybe she'll find gold. But that's the way they roll.
I hope they all come knocking on that broad's door.
Oh, yeah. They were desperate for the address. Inbox me, and I'll be around there 5 minutes. I was like, the world has come to an end.
I think no wonder
the world needs to end. This is too much. But yeah, that was today. I just had to share that with you guys. I'm exhaling now. I was like, no. And it's on a single site, right? So the singles on there, and you know, some of them are grandmothers, for God's sake. Like, what the hell are you doing that for? Like, and you say you want a relationship with who?
You know what's going
to
happen?
Out there to hit it.
She's going to do the same thing this chick did to me in college. She's going to say, don't misunderstand my picture. Just because they're nude doesn't mean there's any sexual attachment to it. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, yeah. And it's like, okay, if you brought yourself down to that level, what do you want now? you know, and you put it out there on the site. And the interesting thing, about a week ago, another girl did the same thing, not the whole body. She did half the body, and it was like, oh, I'm just at work having some fun. I thought you guys might like want to see how I have fun. And she's got a picture of a mirror with her body, half the body out, and, you know, she's taking the picture at work, in the ladies, of course, you know, oh, the bathroom, you guys call it the bathroom, and she has put the picture up on Facebook. I'm like, why?
It just validates one of my principles, one of my thoughts, that women desire sex as much as men.
Yeah.
They're looking for sex. They're not looking for a relationship and marriage. They're looking for some sex.
Yeah,
maybe their inbox wasn't popping the way that other girls or other women's are. So they decided to make their inbox pop. That's another way to make their boyfriend jealous. You know, if you're looking for a logical reason why someone did that, there probably isn't one. Well, maybe there is.
I know.
You never know.
I know.
If you can't figure them out, I don't know how you expect us to figure them out.
I'm just sad to see it. I'm like, and you know, you would accuse, this is something that older women would be accusing young girls of. Oh, that's what they do, these young girls, that's what they do. These are grown-ass grannies, and you know when you see the picture, right? You know. Okay? Ain't nothing good there. But you're
Do you think her inbox filled up?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was busting.
Right.
She got the call. She got exactly what she wanted. But I'm like, you know, see.
So do you think she might have somebody lying down? Do you think she may have someone lying down next to her right now? Banging her head against the headboard? She probably got just what she wanted. I don't think you should judge.
Oh, I'm not judging. I'm just like.
You are judging.
I am.
You are definitely judging. Don't say you're not judging.
Yeah, which is it?
You are judging.
Oh, it is a judgment. It's a judgment. But you know what? I think when you see it, and I did send her a little message, you know, get what you get. I did. What you get is other women.
I think you're making a judgment. I don't think you should knock the hustle.
I did.
She's doing her thing.
I'm happily owning that I made a judgment. Right.
Right. No, you denied it. You reflex denied it. No, I'm not judging. Okay, yeah, I am. You're reflexing it that you're not judging. You're judging. If you feel, so do you feel you're somehow better than her because she decided to do this?
No, I'm just saying, you know, choices create consequences. And when women are saying, you know, and arguing and on those sites, I hear them all the time. I can't find a good man. I really have been trying. I'm this great woman. I cook, I wash, I do everything. And men are just not taking me seriously. This is why they're not taking you seriously.
No, I don't think that. I don't know if that's.
Hold on for a minute. I got Stanley Fate. Stuff right here. So let me bring Mr. Stanley into the conversation. Stanley.
Oh boy, but yes. Oh boy. Ebony, you got to understand when those women are telling you you can't find a good man, many of them are lying to you and they're playing games and everything and they're trying to have pity with you. I bet you that those women that are saying, where are the good men? You don't want a good man. Because every time there was a good brother coming up to you and being nice to you, you played him and shafted him and put him down and everything, and then you're surprised where are the good men. Please.
You got a point, Ebony.
Yeah. When they get more approach in the world than anybody in the world, and then they say, where is the good man? Where's your judgment of having a good man? You don't want a good man, because I can show you a lot of good men, and you will never give a time of day with those good men. Complete.
Yeah, I think the thing that maybe pissed me off when I saw it was there was the amount of women who were coming on and going, oh, you look good, sister. Oh, that's good for you. Oh, I don't think I've seen anybody looking as good as you. And I'm like, look at these women, okay?
You should direct me to the site. I'll tell her the truth. Somebody needs to tell her the truth.
I'm sorry, Ebony, we live in a thing where we can't even say anything as men to tell to a woman, no, you need to. You gain so much weight, you need to do something. We can't even say that anymore as men. Because if we say that, we're shallow. We're this, we're that, we're dogs.
I've always been that, but I've never stopped me.
So, So men don't say anything anymore. They say, like that, I'm not saying anything. I know many men who are very unhappy with that, so who will never say that to their woman, ever. Because you
I
can't
know.
Handle the truth, women. You can't. You don't
no,
want
I know, and no one
men.
Dared go in there. The truth was no one dared to tell her that she looked, you know, a sorry mess. She did look a mess. The picture wasn't even a good picture. The boobs were down to her waist. Like, come on, come on. Okay. You want to put something out, you know, do a little exercise and get it all up in shape. But, like,
wow, you are really judgmental. You are really judgmental. You really got a lot of nerve to judge someone. You are
yeah,
really judgmental. You
yeah.
really, you
Yeah,
no, seriously.
I am. Come
you,
on,
you would,
get,
you,
up,
you,
get
you,
over
you,
it.
You would think that your excrement has no odor to it at all, that you're completely
no,
perfect, and you're judging
care.
This woman.
I really don't care.
No, that's
I
what you
I
don't
was
realize.
Judgmental. I'm being judgmental. But, you know, when you put it out there, Beasley, when you put it, and if you did it, you put your body out there, you don't know how far it's going. You don't know how people will look at it, right? But
yep.
you put it out there, you are open to exposure. That's what you wanted. That's what you
You're
wanted.
Right, but
so, you know, my assessment is just my personal opinion of what I saw. You might look at it and go, woo, that was great. That's looking good, right?
No,
cool
I think she's desperate and thirsty and using real poor judgment. And that's probably
yeah.
why she doesn't have a man.
Yeah, I agree.
It is.
Because she's
well,
desperate and thirsty and make
well,
and using real poor judgment and makes a rash decision to do something. But what
you
don't realize, she
Hold
doesn't
on.
She doesn't have any shame in her game.
I
no,
would say that was
not.
I often say that is not, that was not a rash decision that she made. She done it on purpose, and she did it on purpose because she knew once she put it on Facebook, she was going to be seen around the world. And, you know, there's going to be some of my dad going to want to get with her, call her, you know. And like I say, she's looking for the gold mine. You know, if she had
yeah.
to go a couple of bumps to get to the gold mine, she didn't mind. Because, you know, that reminds me of that girl in New York that used the dating sites to get free meals. Remember that, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, so, you know, that,
oh,
you
yeah.
have to remember that, too. So, you know, it's just crazy.
I
oh,
that
Lord.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, the
Hold
things
on.
That people do, never mind.
Yeah. I know, right? Hold on, let me bring P-Yankee in. I know he got something interesting to say.
Oh, Lord, P-Yankee.
Let me go on and get my shotgun ready. I know it. All right.
Have you been on Ebony's show? She seems like she knows you.
Hello, Eric. How you doing today? Joe?
Doing?
Hey, Ebony?
Thank you.
Seems like everyone's having fine.
The last time I met Pianke, you don't mind me saying, the last time I met Pianke was on another show. And, you know, he normally, you know, he has his little thing with women. He can be sound like he's hating on women sometimes, but I just got to share with you guys. I'm going to share this secret. He was on this show on Saturday night with it's a Caribbean CRS show, and he was flirting with the presenter, Noanne, telling her how nice she was, how
really?
Kicking her out. I was like, Pianke, are you okay?
He's married. He wouldn't flirt.
That's Dr. L. Dr. L is very special.
Yeah,
Dr. Special
L.
To me.
He was. Oh my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
She's
Dr.
very,
L.
very
I
was special.
Just
she's very,
she's
very
special.
Clearly.
Very special, Pianke.
Hey, I'm not even going there.
But I'm really happy to hear everyone is enjoying themselves the last day of the week. Eric, I didn't know you had shows on Friday. I thought you took Friday off.
Nope. 5 days a week, buddy. I take Saturday and Sunday off, though. You know what
oh,
I mean?
That's good. Right.
Yeah, what?
But I was just listening and listening to the humor, and it's good to have humor. So you guys go ahead and carry on. I continue to listen.
Man, you know what? I should shoot you just for that. Don't call him and interrupt the conversation. Just to say that. Wow. Uh-oh. Co-host got you. Co-host got you.
Oh, man.
No matter what I do, Joe, I get shot.
You know, that one you deserve, man. You just came in well, here and said, hey, you know what? I just came in here to be like Mike. Just to say hello and carry on.
Yeah.
I remember Mike did that a couple of times. I know. I just wanted to call in. Wait a minute. I got to go make a sandwich.
You call in and say, what's the topic? So what y'all talking about today?
But check this out, y'all. I got another question I want to put out there. All right. Now, since we just talked about the lady that put her business on Facebook, right, is because I heard a story today that a scientist has said that gamers, you know, the ones that sit there and play games all day, are more socially adapt than regular individuals. So it came to my, and here's the question that came to my mind. You know, some of y'all on BTR all day long and all night long, and, you know, we do the shows of the day. So is platforms like this, is it socializing or, is it socializing in the sense of the definition, okay? Or is this the new form of socializing and you shouldn't have to worry, you really shouldn't worry about it, this is better?
First off, I want some clarification. You say socially adapt. Are you saying socially inept or are you saying they adapt well?
They adapt well.
They adapt, once they get people who are on War of Thrones and the other games. The guy that did the Santa Barbara Massacre, he was on 16 hours a day.
They're addictive to those video games. I know people that play often, but to answer your question, I think it's high tech socializing. It's definitely socializing.
Okay.
But
I'm interacting with people, exchanging thoughts, ideas, laughs, insults, drama, all kinds of stuff. Mm. And everyone else does all the same thing. It's high tech socializing.
Well,
right.
Let's make sure that it's high tech socializing to identify it and make sure that it's compartmentalized away from the normal socializing, because people here in BTR, even though we're on often, we do not meet each other and we do not go beyond the cartoons that is BTR.
Some do.
Some do.
Bianchi said he met Perry Steele before. People hook up. I don't know if Ebony met Vicky through BTR or if she knew her before, but I think they're friendly offline. Okay. I mean, people do. And you better believe there's people out there hooking up and having sex and everything else.
We didn't hook up and have sex, okay? But, yeah, we met on BTR.
Oh, you and Vicky?
No, Vicky met on BTR. She was actually a listener on my show. And then she said one day in my chat room that she lived in London, and then we worked out that she actually lived 15 minutes away from me. So we lived very close to each other, and we didn't know each other until BTR.
On every platform that I've been on since I've been on the net since 96, people have hooked up. And in the younger people, this was in AOL chat rooms, they were flying across country all the time. And flying and people and flying to see each other all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that goes on here. It's just people are a little bit older and a little bit more discreet.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think
it happens. I think the problem is when, and I think N2 is right in the chat room, it's a virtual world, and if you're not careful, it will blend with physical reality. And I think it's when you step over the line and you start thinking that the virtual world is the real world. And some people are so caught up in the virtual world, they actually don't socialize in the real world. I mean, one of the things I found with being on BTR, and it's something Vicky and I were talking about today, was how, you can end up, when you listen to shows, you can end up being stuck in your house all day. And actually, you know, if you're not working, you don't meet another social network, because your social network becomes those shows. And it's a great thing because you're learning and you're meeting lots of people internationally, but your local socializing doesn't really happen like it used to. You know, we talked about going out more now this summer and, you know, so you probably won't hear much of us, but, you know, going out more. And, you know, I started doing that this week as well, going out, catching up with friends, meeting people up for drinks that summer, going to bars and hanging out, because there's another world out there. and you can get stuck in a, you know, in a virtual world, you know, and forget the real world.
I don't blame technology. I don't blame technology.
I'm not blaming it. I'm just saying it happens.
No, I'm not saying you're blaming it. I'm saying there are people who do blame it. I don't blame it at all, and there are people who are on BTR often. But that doesn't mean that they can't turn it off and do something else. If they choose to be on BTR, it's because there's nothing else that they're choosing to do at that particular time.
But, okay, Joe, so what you're saying is as long as they have the ability to turn it off, it's doing no harm.
It's not doing any harm whether they turn it off or not. Let's say there was no BTR and people didn't have BTR to do. They would find something, but it most likely would be indoors anyway. They would probably be on the Internet doing something or being on the phone or doing something by themselves or maybe just going out by themselves to a coffee place or something.
And all of these platforms are addictive. Are addictive, whether it's playing video games, they interact with each other, they talk with each other, cuss each other out, dox each other and everything. BTR is addictive. There's people that make YouTube videos. I've been on message boards that I used to go on every single day. The whole nature of this stuff is addictive. People are addicted to Twitter. People are addicted to Facebook, where they're doing it all the time at work. You can walk around with your phone and do it. I used to be on AOL chat rooms that move so fast that when you log off, it's like you have to let the rest of the world catch up to you. You find yourself talking fast. You have to slow down your speed to catch up with the real world because the chat rooms are moving so fast. And all these platforms have been addicted ever since I've been on them.
What about you know the ones that the ones that blacks used to use back like in the 90s was called Black Voices.
That's what I was on.
And they had a topic on there. They had a topic on Black Voices called Black Jesus. And that topic lasts for over a year, going back and forth. Matter of fact, it was a news commentator. Like, it wasn't a CNN at that time. They was making commented on live news about this topic that was going on for like 13 or 14 months. So this type of platform has existed for quite some time. People have used it for various reasons, and it does become addicting sometimes. And you know what? One of the people that I was going back and forth with on Black Voices, I met over in Egypt when I was over there back in like, what year.
Yankee, what Black Voices chat room were you in? I'm sure I've cussed you out before.
Oh, boy.
Well, you might have, but it was just Black Voices on that particular subject because that was the only one that was
interesting. There were age groups. There was Black Voices teen. There was Black Voices 21 to 30, then 30 to 40. But the drama got so hot and heavy that all of them eventually burned up. I've seen guys have babies by multiple women in the chat room. These people would have relationships. And then they would cheat inside of that relationship. They didn't cheat with somebody in the real world. They would cheat with another person in the chat room. I've seen
but you
all
know
kinds
what?
Of... Go ahead.
You know what, Beasley? If you was on during AOL time, AOL used to charge you about a minute. And some poor souls would go to bed. They'd fall asleep and wake up the next morning, and their charge card would be charged like $200 or $300.
That was before my time. I got on in 96 when it was unlimited.
One of the things I was going to say is that I don't know if you guys were familiar with Talkie.com. It was more of a phone-orientated chat.
No.
Where you call in or something like that. But I remember... I guess it was like maybe 2000, I want to say... Maybe 99, I don't know. But the first group of business partners I ever had came from a chat line.
And
from a phone chat line.
A positive experience?
Yeah, we started a little, it was a t-shirt line, but we started a little t-shirt line, and it started from us having discussions on one of those chat lines. I mean, of course, there was a lot of tomfoolery on those lines. But in the midst of it, I got a chance to network with a couple of other guys the same age as me at the time, and we decided to collaborate and you know, sell some T-shirts.
I've made sales with people from chat rooms and for, you know, not big money, but not chump change either, and also from message boards.
So, I met a brother on the internet. You know, the internet has played a lot to do with the advancement of just about everything. And, I mean, if we really think about it, look how far we have came with the ability to chat, express ideas, sentiments, opinions, information. Internet has played a major concern. Computers itself is one of the reasons my business was so successful when I started, because with computers, I was able to get out more bids, so on and so on, whereas my competitors were still doing it the old way. But,
it ruined a lot of businesses as well, or not ruined. Yeah. But,
Here's my question. When does it, I lost my thought. But anyway, it's like this. So since it's so prevalent and has changed so much, when does it become a hindrance? Distraction in, you know, because that, you know, at one time when the internet first happened, you know, it was good, it was clean and what have you, and many people didn't know about it. But listen to me, god dang it, all right,
but it's been dirty
for
since day
part.
One
but Beasley, will you let me talk? Thank you. All right. And basically what I was want to say is, you know, it's good, Pianki, and y'all, you know, you got your business through that, but with that being said, how often, I mean, do you stay on the internet? You know, do you use it to a point to where you begin to socialize on that instead of, you know, doing the business face to face?
Well, Eric, nowadays you can take it in your pocket with these smartphones. I mean, smartphones are you know, my first computer I built, I was always electronic hobbyist with
Pianki,
robots
Pianki,
and so
Pianki,
on.
Pianki. I don't need a dissertation. I just ask.
All right, well, let me be quick with it. I think as things have changed, you know, things have changed a lot since the days of the Commodore to where it is now. Even then, during that time, people was trying to do what we're doing today and take it actually for granted with Blog Talk Radio. But I don't think it's – I think that for some it's an addiction, for some it's a necessity. You know, if you drive from your house and leave your cell phone, you turn around and go back and get it. And as I said before, now you have that computer in your pocket with smartphones.
Okay, but to answer your question, Eric, if people are substituting the virtual reality for the actual reality, they don't have a good social life. If they had a good social life, they wouldn't need to be on BTR as often as they do, or do the other stuff online as often as they do.
You know what I used to find with those chat rooms? There would be more exciting, more fun stuff, more stuff laughing than some of the people I'd go be around in real life.
Well, that depends upon the topic. Like, for example, I can't talk to a few more people, but up until recently, I could not talk to anybody about politics, religion, or relationships, because those were the taboos. And those taboos, to me, were the interesting topics, other than,
right.
I don't want to talk about the same shit day after day, or how was your day, and I don't want to.
And also, who feels like talking about these taboo subjects with people in real life, and it turns into an argument and a fist fight?
There you go.
I met Joe. I don't know where I met you, Joe, but I was really Joe and his conservative opinions and his knowledge, especially I think with you and I had the same opinion about Ron Paul. So, you can't find nobody had that opinion about Ron Paul physically in my community.
Yeah, I mean, and Beasley's right. I mean, even if you have somebody who has the same kind of interests as you, you will end up being into some sort of discussion where there's a, you know, a difference of opinion, and you can get dicey there, you know.
Yeah, in real life, they won't invite you back.
Right.
There's more idiots out there than there are people that actually think and can discuss issues intelligently. and a lot of them are still on BTR. But I think in society there's a lot more idiots people that say simplistic, stupid things, and I don't have the patience for them.
Okay, and this brings me to my next question. Do any of you feel that most people are more open and honest when they're on platforms like this, or do they try and hide more?
Good question.
A little of both.
I don't know. Yeah.
All of us have moments of candor, you know, when we speak about ourselves. But for the most part, people, and this is true, people always represent themselves as bigger and better than how they really are in real life. Generally speaking, I find that to be true. So, you know, people have moments of candor where they will talk about personal things. I have. And I'm private as hell. You'll never see my picture. I've been through that. No, and it's not that it has anything to do with how I look, but about 10, 12 years ago, I was on a message board, and they dug up a picture that I had sent someone 7 years earlier. And, man, you know, they did all kinds of things to that picture with captions and drew penises and put them all in my face and everything. I was like, I'll never do this. This will never happen to me again. Yeah, I've been through it. I've learned the lessons.
Oh, wow. There was a story out today, guys. I don't know if you saw it. There's a story out in the UK. Well, it actually came out the Daily Mail, about this woman who was dating a young boy of 15. And it went to court, and she was spared prison because she had his baby. What do you think?
You what now,
here, where's a woman here that went to prison who was a teacher?
Oh, she went to prison. Oh, okay.
No, she's saying there that didn't go to prison. She should have gone. She should have gone to prison.
She was spared.
She was spared from going to prison.
A woman. Oh. She got with a 13-year-old kid. You guys remember the story. And she had a child by him. She went to prison. And then when she got out of prison, he was still underage. And her only restriction was to stay away from him. And they got back together and got another kid. She went back to prison. I think she did 6 years in total. And they're still a couple to this day.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
And there's a teacher who married her student.
Yeah.
There's a case in Florida where the prosecutor done a plea deal with the teacher and let off. I don't know how young the child was, though. I think he was like maybe 16.
You see more and more of those stories with these female teachers, you know, in their 20s and 30s, having affairs with 13, 14, 15-year-old boys.
They're not ugly broads.
Man, one of them is beautiful and blonde.
There's a website with hundreds of them on there.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, okay,
so
all right.
What is the
right
difference between women who you know, abuse children, because they are children, okay, as opposed to men who abuse children? Because women are seen, you know, the law treats them differently. I think women get away with it. I'm a woman. Women tend to get away with it more so than men.
I kind of agree with the law. The men should probably be locked up and castrated and killed. And those women should be giving nice awards.
Dude, why are you always going to fucking do this shit?
Do what shit?
You're always bringing in something you don't even fucking believe.
Wait a minute, hold on.
How do you know what I believe?
No, hold on.
Stay within your feelings. Go take your pampering.
Hold on.
Joe's over
you
here menstruating on me.
I'm what on you?
Look. All right. Now, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. See, now we finna get into the male-female dynamic.
What's your opinion on it, Eric?
My opinion is everybody should get the same sentence. You know, if you were abusing or sleeping with a kid underage, yeah, you should do some time. I'm just gonna put that out there. You know,
what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
That's right. And you know, now if by chance, you know, they're like 17, 18 and just, you know, left behind in school because they're a little slow, then you have to look at it a little bit different because technically they're grown. You see what I'm saying? So now you got two consenting adults. But if there's anything below that, then, yeah, they need to do equal time, you know.
Well, right. A male's not grown until he's 21, right? And a female, 18?
No, the law says 18.
For both?
Yeah. No, now, they can't drink. They can't drink until they're 21. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they can't drink until they're 21. But a grown-ass person can jump on a child and have sex with them, and it's okay. Especially if you're a woman. It's just interesting how the law treats it, because now they're saying to a bunch of women out there, it's okay, you know, to go with younger guys. I mean, you can go with a younger guy. You don't have to pick a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old. Do you know what I mean? It's all pedophilia. It is pedophilia. Do you know what I mean? We just see it differently because it's like, oh, women are helping these guys to be, you know, real men.
Yeah.
And it's a nice thing. But it isn't necessarily. I think it's abuse. I really do think it is.
All right.
Well, I hope it's that way, too.
Okay. Hold on. Let's see. Akeem, you got something to say real fast?
Oh, the only thing I was going to say is that it's interesting the history of the accepted age for consent around the world, how different it varies. And then when you look way back to some of the studies on physical maturity and development and how men differ from women on our development and based on on some of the studies, women typically develop before us. And partially based on what I've looked at, they say that it's because of our height that it slows down the maturity because we're typically taller, so that plays a role.
You know, on that issue on consent, sexual consent, if a girl is 16, she can consent to sex with a teenager. But if she consent with sex with an adult, that adult will go to jail because he have actually, you know, he have, what do they call it when an adult have sex with a child?
Statutory rape.
Yeah, that's right, statutory rape. I mean, a 17-year-old can marry a 14-year-old with the parent, in some states with the parents' consent, some states the judge has to approve of it, and so on and so on. But a 14-year-old can consent to sex with a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old. But if that 18-year-old have sex with that girl, then he's charged with statutory rape.
Yeah.
Even if she consents.
Yeah, it was a case like that in Georgia. You know, they sent this guy to prison for that. So, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, you're right. There was that black kid. They had it on the cell phone, didn't they?
Right, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, hold on. Let me bring Jew in. I had him on hold for a minute. Welcome, Jew. How you doing today?
Well, you know, Beasley really struck a note with me in something he said earlier about, you know, being candid and talking about true things. And Beasley, I just wanted to tell you one thing. You there? Just got to find the mute button. You find your mute button there, Beasley.
Okay.
Wow.
Hello?
Wow. Yeah, you there? I just wanted to.
Why don't you just give me a call if you're thinking about me?
No.
Well, my number.
I have it. I just wanted to get to.
Fucking use it. The fuck.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Everybody always blames me for doing that. I never do that.
But you don't have it. But go ahead. I'll give it to you. The fuck if you want it. But go ahead. What's on your mind?
Beasley, I just wanted to come out and tell you something I've never told anybody else.
Oh my
on
God.
BTR. I have a very small penis.
All right. Enough of that. You and Beasley go in your own. Y'all go in your own little room and talk.
Green room.
Yeah, because I don't want to hear nothing about no penises. I don't know what's wrong with him.
No, I don't even know what the hell I was about.
I don't know. He done forgot what show he done came on again. All right. So they can play with each other in the green room. Anyway. That Joe didn't sound right, but okay. Anyway.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And
here's,
I thought it was only women who put their stuff out there.
Well, yeah, okay. Right now, I can't do anything for laughs. Because that is crazy. But here's another topic. You know, last week we had the big thing, this week, about, you know, release 5 for 1. Now, scanning through, I was reading that the North Korea has 5 of our citizens detained. So what can we give them to get our citizens back for that? Or is that the same philosophy, or is it a different philosophy?
Look, we have to realize there's a lot of stuff that's underneath the surface. You're not going to trade 5 supposedly high-ranking members of the Taliban for 1 ordinary GI. This guy is not ordinary. This guy has something that the government wants, or the government wants to make sure that the Taliban hasn't gotten, and probably they're trying to find out if he gave up some kind of information. I'm sure there's a lot that's not being revealed in the press.
Well, you know what? I gave you my thought process on it. You know, I think he went in trying to get information, and they just used that as a ploy. But do you know this kid, he walked off. He walked out on his own in basic training. So this is not the first place where he just walked off his post. He did it in basic training. And for those that us went through basic training, you know that's a no-no. But, yeah. And then
I should have gotten you kicked out.
Yeah. And then in Afghanistan, he went for a walk outside the gate once before, you know, just saying he wanted to see the sunset. So there were, you know, indicators that something wasn't right with this guy. And I go back to what I was saying earlier in the week, you know, that everybody want to blame him, but you need to go back and look at his chain of command, because apparently none of them did what they were supposed to do.
That ain't the thing to really look at. To look at these 5 so-called Taliban leaders, and we have to be cognizant of, you know, I'm saying that they're going to be show up. They'll show up at some time in the future, leading something against one of these Central African countries. Now, that's my take on it. But in the past, you had the Libyan rebel commander, Hassidi, who admitted that they had fighters that was on the front line with Al-Qaeda links on the front line fighting against Muammar Gaddafi, who was also on the front line fighting against Allied troops killing Americans in Iraq. So that thing does go on. Look at the Jedran, the leader of the Eastern Libya rebels. Right now he wants to separate Eastern Libya and form his own country surrounded by oil. And guess what? We're going to be dealing with him. So this back and forth, like what we just seen with this 5 for 1 trade, there's more that goes to that than meets the eye. But a lot of this stuff is conspired and planned. And I mean, you would be surprised.
Okay. I'm glad you said that. Now, here's my take on this thing. Number one, we was holding them. We hadn't charged them with anything. Apparently, NATO wanted one of them. NATO never came and got them. I guess we the police for NATO also. Oops, there's that word again, NATO, police. And number two, you know, everybody want to say they going to kill Americans. Who's killing more Americans now, the Taliban or ourselves? I'm just asking a question, but I think somebody needs to think about it.
Hey, you're right about that.
If you mean killing of Americans, probably by suicide. More suicides have been taking place now through this war era than World War I or World War II. There's a suicide every day from a returning vet. So I guess that the military is probably killing our own boys more than the enemy is.
Well, Joe, I think you can actually narrow it down, be more specific in that. You know, if you go into the urban neighborhoods, you know, yeah, I think it's more of them killing each other than even the soldiers coming back killing themselves. So, you know, I mean, you know, everybody want to say that, okay, you know, they released them. But what were we holding them for anyway? Now, if anybody remember when the president first got elected, his what was his promise? He was going to close Gitmo down. So they had to go somewhere, right? So what were they going to do with them then? Number two, when he tried to close it down or have trials for these folks, you know, it was a big hoopah because of it. So, okay, once again, they're out there. So, look.
But none of the other countries.
It's like
none of the other allied countries wanted to take them. And so, you know, you're talking about North Korea.
Wait a minute, Pianki. Wait a minute, Pianki.
Let
me finish my thought first. All right. Now, you know, we done released him, released these five back, and whatever. It's easy. We'll find them later and deal with them later. That way, it's more, how can I put it? If they are more accessible and there won't be such a cry of foul play when it happens. See, it was just like I'm agreeing.
Hey, let me ask you this.
It's a setup. I mean, it's a, you know, a conspiracy or setup to make it happen. But go ahead, Joe.
So what I'm getting from you is that it's possible that they want these five people released so that they can kill them later.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know what? I never thought of it that way. But actually
lead them back to where the main sources are and then handle them that way, you know?
Hmm.
And
Eric,
say there were victims of war. Yes.
The main sources is when they have a agent meet somebody in a cafe with a bag of money and tell them what they want to have done. That's your next operation. That's your next op-ed with Taliban or Al-Qaeda. That's how they use them.
Okay.
And some of these rebel leaders are giving the promise that they will be able to form their own transitional government and be recognized. And once you in that position, then you got an unlimited bank account.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. But hold on, I got somebody else on hold. Let me bring them in. All right. Who do I have here? 111?
It's me, Maze.
Hello, Maze. How are you today?
I'm okay.
That's good. What's up?
Well, who said that those five people committed? You keep hearing them saying that they're going back to take up where they left off. Who said they committed a crime? They ain't got nothing against them over here, and they won't try them. They need to close the whole place down. Nobody never discussed how much money is being saved since they sent those five back home. Since they always want to count pennies.
Okay.
And them five people might be going back to their villages and doing what they were doing peacefully because they did pick up some that wasn't doing nothing.
Well, you know, those five have been actually identified and connected with the Taliban, Al-Qaeda. So,
what? It takes 5 years to have a trial for somebody?
Look, knucklehead. Listen, knucklehead, didn't I just say they didn't have any charges on them? And when they tried to have a dang on trial, everybody raised a big hoo-ha about it. So why not release them? I just said that, Maze. Come on now.
And they need to release the other ones that's still there. Because don't people ain't committed no crime. The crime was probably committed on them.
I have to agree with Maze because, the people that... Remember, when they rounded up the people at the beginning, they released something like 300, 400 right away. And these people, they don't have even charges against them.
Hey, Joe, why come they didn't kill those people that were supposed to hijack planes, supposed to got killed in the planes, but they was ending up sitting on beaches around the world, basking in the sun?
Yeah, and their passports found with no fire tinges at all.
Yeah.
Because it's all a setup. It's all a bunch of lies.
And guess what? And you're gossiping about it. What's the end to it? Those people need to go back home and live their life the way the people want to live their life over here. That's what I think, and that's my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's different from everybody else's.
You know, the thing that mystifies me, we can take a group of people, and they will agree that something is very, very shaky with 9/11. And we don't even have to get into who's on plane. I mean, just obvious things of the Pentagon, the hole that wasn't in the ground from a plane running into the ground, and so on and so on.
Yeah.
Then, in another conversation, we going on further talking about what the prisoners in Gitmo is doing. We talking about these five. We talking about the, you know, other issues that has to do with the reason why come the U.S. started Iraq and Afghanistan because of 9/11. And we seem to forget all about the doubts that we have about why 9/11 happened, or did it happen really at all? What do you call that, Eric?
I call that a cover-up.
An illusion.
Yeah, an illusion. I mean, look, you know what? It's bad when your Colin Powell, you know, realizes at the last minute he's sitting in front of the UN and he realizes he's been lied to. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
Now he could have made a moral judgment, and which I mean he did really, but he could have made a big decision, who probably would have cost his career, and told the truth.
Cause it's bad, point, not career.
Well, you know,
and they use excuse on bad information.
Yeah, and you know, and here the funny part: the only thing they had to do was ask soldiers that went over there the first time. Who could have told you that there was no weapons of mass destruction? You know, he didn't have them then, and no, he don't have them now. But, you know, it was something that was needed to gain support, because Bush needed to go over there and finish what his father didn't. He wanted that to be his legacy, and he succeeded.
And check this out. How can Obama draw a line in the sand and say that if President Assad of Syria crossed the line by using chemical weapons in his battle against terrorist rebels, which is being funded by the United States, which was through Ambassador Stevens, who got killed in Benghazi, how can he draw that line in the sand, whereas a few years earlier between Iraq and Kuwait, Secretary of State Gillespie told Saddam Hussein that it's okay if you use chemical weapons against the Kurds?
Well, you see how well that line in the sand held up, right?
And that line in the sand wasn't but a bunch of gossip, because it didn't make no sense. Because people draw a line in the sand and nobody crosses. You know, never happened.
What happened to the Jew and Beasley?
Oh, they still in the chat room having their own conversation.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. And you know what though? It's a reason why no one came to the aid of those folk that night. It's a reason why. Nobody, huh?
Who? You talking about Benghazi?
Yeah, Benghazi. Yeah. Hmm. This is a reason why there was no help sent. There wasn't supposed to be.
They probably wanted Stevens killed.
They who?
Well, see, the government, girl. Come on, stay with me here. You need me to write a paper or notes for you now?
Listen. No, I'm gonna give you some notes. I'm gonna give you some notes because we don't think alike.
Well, damn,
we have different opinions.
I'm glad we do. Now let me talk.
That's good. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, dang it, Maze.
Stevens, that's what you were on. Stop having a senior moment.
There go a moment for you. God dang it. Now, anyway. Anyway, Stevens was over there trying to buy back some Stinger missiles that went missing, you know, and they had found where they were. So that couldn't come out that if we were buying back something we had sent over there to them. Now, would that look good? No, that wouldn't look good.
Uh-uh.
No. So, a call was made, you know, as they say, he was just a casualty of war. That's all.
They wanted him dead, probably.
Collateral damage. That's what it is. Collateral damage. You know? That's what it was. That's all I'm saying about it anyway.
And they wonder why come this, you know, they had been picking on Iran for a long time. Back in the 80s, the United States gave Saddam Hussein, gave him chemical weapons, high-tech weapons, so that they could invade Iran, encourage them to invade Iran. And as I said before, April Gillespie, who was the ambassador, told Saddam Hussein that they would turn a blind eye when he waged war against Kuwait. So this stuff goes back and forth, It has a long history. And you know one thing, too, and I'm going to get out of here after this. When you have discussions, when you sit down, when you listen to discussions going on at that level, whether it's Pentagon or whether it's senators or something, they only want to talk about the issue at the moment. They never want to talk about what happened in 1980 in a continuation of events and occurrences that led up to the issue at the moment. They never talk about that. And if you in a room talking with them, they would run your ass out of there. They would not recognize you.
You are
well, why should they admit to their duplicity? The United States of America, and I have an old world history book published 1955 in which they state that the United States admits that it is an imperialistic nation. You won't find that in history books. You're not going to find people in the within the Pentagon or any place else in the upper levels of government that's going to admit anything unless they get caught with the hand in the cookie jar. This nation of ours is an imperialistic, nationalistic, empire-expanding nation. We're out there to conquer the world, just like Russia's out there to conquer the world and China.
Well, they're mad with Russia because Russia wouldn't let them go get Adenijan. And that's why they act like they're mad with Russia. For Putin, Putin wouldn't let them go in there, them and China. So they upset with him because of that reason. That's why you see them trying to act as if they're not a part of the program. You remember when he said, watch Hillary Clinton because she's going doing things behind your back.
No, I don't remember that.
Adenijan said that. Go back and find some tapes. You will hear what he said. He said a whole lot of things. They pushed out the way so you wouldn't realize what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're not at war now. Because China and Putin stopped them from going in, messing with that man's country.
Well,
and they're still mad about it.
Some
of them politicians sitting up there still upset about it. And we need to send some more of them home, and we won't be studying war no more.
During the Bush era, 31 retired generals and admirals petitioned Bush. They told him, we should not go to war with Iran.
So did the American people.
Mm-hmm. But when you have the generals doing that, and, you know, these are generals and admirals who love war, they're telling Bush, do not aggravate Iran. Do not invade Iran. So Iran must have some sort of apparatus which the military and the intelligence know about, but which the American people themselves don't know about.
Well, you know what it is? They don't want China and Russia getting involved in it. That's what
that
is.
And that's what stopped the war. That's what stopped them from going and starting another war, which I was so happy.
You have to understand, China's the one who makes the majority of our electronics. You know what I'm saying? So let's get in a war with them. Shut us down. You know, that'll be a real smart move. But before I go any further, all right, y'all, we got 11 minutes left in the show. And if you want to continue to hear the show, give us a call, 347-838-8622. Or you can stay in the chat room. H2O, put that link in the chat room again. Click on the link H2O is put in the chat room. That way you won't get kicked out when the show ends at the normal time. All right? But if you're on the phones, if you're in the chat room and you want to continue to hear us live, 347-838-8622. All right. Thank you much. Thank you much. Yes.
Mr. Talk, I was wondering, now, why do we have to have think tanks take us to war? Never been on a battlefield, but they can sit up somewhere and think of strategies to go and mess up other countries. Those are the people that need to be put in jail because their strategy never worked. And
Wait a second. You want to put people in jail for thinking? Did you just say that?
You were just mad because of the mayor you got. I understand where you're coming from.
I don't live in Philadelphia. But you want to put people in jail for thinking?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Because I was going to say, you say it again, because I didn't understand it the first time.
I said you have a bunch of think tanks all together making strategies for war. And that's their plan, and it doesn't come out the way that they planned it, getting rich and making money off of them, which doesn't make any sense. They should be going to jail.
For what?
The strategies they have to take people to war.
For what? Thinking?
Yeah.
You want to put them in jail for thinking?
Stop thinking, looking.
Looking not woman. Thinking, looking.
Yeah.
Looking, thinking, wishing, and talking, and hoping. What's that song? Let's just break into song now.
I mean, Mace, but well, I mean, what should you, I mean, a think tank, they only think of thinking of ideas. So what is
they use their ideas to take people to war, their strategies and things that they have.
I want to ask Mace a question. Mace, do you think that these people are really thinking in a tank, or are they not?
Do I have the answer is because you asked me a question? No.
I'm sorry. Well, I didn't hear the front part of that. Could you tell me if they're thinking in a tank or out of a tank?
They're thinking on top of your head.
Or do they think better in the tank?
Oh, Lord. Anyway.
Maybe they think better tanked in the tank.
No.
Don't pull
no.
out that stupid gun, Eric. That, you know, it adds to gun violence, you know.
What I mean, like people like the Heritage Foundation, they sit up there, they think tanks, and when the people want something, remember when they were supposed to be voting for something, and the Heritage Foundation think tank told them not to do it? And that's the same way with war and everything else. I don't know where these people came from and who elected these people to even be a part.
Well, I can help you with that, man. Nobody elected them.
They're the intelligentsia. They're the people that are supposed to know.
And they're members
of secret societies that don't seem so secret, but they really are. The Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, and they all profit from war and conquest.
Well, there we
because
go.
Because the profit is more important than actually getting it right. Absolutely.
Well,
so that's why you know the answer. You just don't believe that there's people that are that unconcerned about other people. That would recommend such things where there's so much of a human toll for a profit. But there are people like that.
Mm.
They really don't care about how many people die in war and battle. It's the bottom line.
And you know what? I have to agree with you, Beasley, on that.
But that's the truth. That's the reality.
I'm a witness to that. I am. I'm a witness. You know, because it was funny. We at war. But they got, like, man, dining facilities. That's what they call them. We used to call them mess hall. They dining facilities. And trust me, these places, what they putting up should be nowhere in the war zone. You know what I mean? But you
right.
got it. You got
right.
it. And who's Halliburton? What's the other one? What was the other one?
Blackhawk. There's a bunch of the Carlyle Group. There's a bunch of different entities.
And believe you,
and there's so many of them under the Carlyle Group.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And Lockheed, yeah. And you know what? And all of them, there are some legislators that actually have their hand in that pot because they're part owners of these groups. So it's all about is the money thing. You know, fill my pockets. They already robbing us when they're here, so why not rob us while we're at war, too? It's not a, you know. And here's the thing. I wanted to do some research. I want to know how many of these politicians have kids in the military and how many actually went over.
I know the vice president does.
Because
his son's an officer. They're not the rank and file.
They died just like the...
I want to know the ones that actually have boots on ground, you know, out there in the dust, you know, kicking in doors and things like that on a daily basis. So
rank and file, the infantrymen, very few.
Yeah.
And these same people move from the private sector to the public sector, which means they'll work as aides and lobbyists and or be the actual congressmen and senators themselves, and they float from there to the defense contractor or for the whatever particular group. And it's all a big game that they play.
All I say with it is when they can't have their way, that's who you see screaming and hollering, and then they bring it down to the people, and they screaming and hollering, and they have the slightest idea why they screaming and hollering.
But they generally get it. But they generally get it. They generally get it their way.
Not most time they don't. because when they don't get the person that they want, like they want to get Adidas John, they couldn't get him, so they still upset about it. Mm. They want to keep Guantanamo Bay open, and I'm wondering who's making money from that. McCain must be making some because he's the one that's screaming the loudest to keeping it open.
Well, there's politics involved there, too.
You know what?
They would really it would really look bad if they were to release some, and they've released lots of people from Guantanamo Bay, but it would really look bad if they were to release one of those people and they were to put off a dirty bomb in Chicago.
Hmm.
Or
you
if
know,
they were to be responsible for attacks. So there's a lot of factors there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them walking around here with weapons and putting out people and want to open carry. That's why I don't go in places where you got people with guns, because you never know when somebody might go off. Universities are not safe anymore, because you're having one go off look like every other week here in America. We have our own war zone, and it needs to be straightened out.
How would you do it?
Yeah.
How would you do it?
That's a good question.
Well, there's a person that has a pattern of weapon, and it's called a weapon, a gun, that it only shoots for a certain reason. But they don't want to talk about that. They want the one so that Swift and Weston can keep making money and send people out like Looney Tunes.
Mays,
you know,
can I ask you a
question? Speaking of Smith and Wesson, Mays, I just bought a Smith and Wesson.
Hold on, Jew. Mays, let me ask you this question. When the last time a gun killed anyone?
Guns don't kill people, bullets do. When is the last time you heard them run out of bullets?
Okay, I'm going to get a bullet right now. Is it going to kill me?
No. If you swallow it, Mike.
If what?
If you swallow
it, Mike.
I can't believe I heard that.
I know, right?
No, I can't believe I understood it. I heard it, but I can't believe I understood it.
My point, Maze, is this. People kill people. Guns don't have any things to do with it. If they just sitting on the desk by themselves, they don't shoot anyone.
Guns play a part, but it takes a person to make a gun do what it does. And all the guns that are in America, there's a lot of gun crime, but there's 300 million guns in America. There's really not that much gun crime, considering that there's 300 million guns. But
I think it's probably more than that.
Okay. And they're making them right now.
Hmm.
Where did everyone else go, Mr. Talk?
Yeah, they listening.
Oh.
When two people of superior intellect discuss, they like to sit back and listen.
All right, hold on. I got somebody else holding, though. Let me bring them in. All right, who do we have here? 111, welcome to the show.
Well, funny that. It's still me. I just wanted to go downstairs and get something to eat.
What in the world? Oh, man, hold on. All right.
I'm all over the place.
I told you
about attention.
My God. If you ignore him, you won't have to worry about him.
Okay. Would you...
Did you say that he had superior intellect?
Yeah,
oh, Lord. That's what he said.
Just
that's
looking
what I
for
said.
A sick bucket. Okay.
Looking for Walt. What did you say? Looking for Walt.
He's on his Prozac. Y'all have to just understand. You
sick
have to ignore
bucket.
People like that.
Anyway.
Yeah. I need a gun. I need one of the ones that, Mr. Talk, can I borrow yours?
Yeah. I'll let you borrow. There it is. Okay.
No, he needs to get a life.
Why are you all so fearful of guns?
He's upset with his mayor. That's why he's always having a breakdown.
Am I muted or am I unmuted? Because I have
we don't know.
You're muted.
Why are you so fearful of guns?
I am always fascinated when people walk in front of the car when I'm stopped at an intersection, and they walk within inches of my front bumper. And the only thing that's stopping them from getting run over is my foot not slipping off the brake. Why is it people walk in front of cars, which are inherently dangerous? Guns left by themselves don't shoot people. But cars, when your foot slips off the brake, can easily run somebody over. And I'm always amazed at people with little children walking in front of my car and other cars, not giving any distance or anything for them to even get out of the way. They walk within inches of the front bumper, and they don't give a thought that the person who's texting while they're sitting there or picking their nose or eating their McDonald's hamburger or whatever it is just one slip away from running them down. So why the guns, Maze? Why the guns are so
Cars that stand still don't hit people if it's parked without a human being being behind the wheel. The same way with a gun.
Oh, God. Somebody translate that because I really didn't get that. Anybody understand that?
You just stop being upset with your marriage.
No. I really don't. I have no idea what you just said. I'm not kidding.
Stop being upset with your marriage. You'll be okay.
All I heard was,
I know what's wrong with you.
Somebody translate what you just said. Can you slow down and say that again?
You just want to be in control of the conversation.
Yeah, because if I can understand Maze and I'm not an American, how did how
you're
comes
British? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's
yeah,
a black
how comes
thing.
I can understand
I can't,
her.
I don't know what it is, but I'm a white Jew. I don't
he
have
was,
any understanding.
And
of
I'm
mumble.
A black. He don't like me because I say I'm a black Jew. So what does that got to do with anything? He's one of those fallen angels that fell down on earth, and he don't know what to do with himself, and he's upset with his mayor.
Sorry, that is funny.
Ebony, are you telling me you understand every word she says?
Yeah, I do. And you know,
do.
I listen to you. What
Ooh,
I do
I'm
is
hiring.
I listen. I listen. That's an art. Sometimes people call it a skill. But I do listen. And I hear her every single word. Everybody's gone quiet.
All right. I know. Everybody got quiet all of a sudden. Okay. Anyway, check this out. What the world? I got people all over the place. Anyway, there was a shooting.
Ebony, I got muted. I'm going to hire you, though, as my translator.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I see what happened. All right, but...
I don't know if you can afford me, too. It's okay.
Uh-huh. You know... there was a shooting. Look, there was a shooting at a school, at a college in Seattle, and the one of the guys that was sitting at the front desk, he actually disarmed the guy when he went to reload by hitting him with pepper spray and then tackling him. You know, and oh Lord,
he only killed one person. That guy doesn't even rank.
Right.
He doesn't even rank up on the scale. They made a big fuss. There was another guy in Georgia that was going to do a full frontal assault on the courthouse, and he came in with an assault rifle, and he had bombs and everything on him, and he was shooting through his windshield, but the deputy killed him and saved him from getting in the courthouse.
Well, he was shooting from inside his car.
Yeah, inside
the outside.
I think he was going to ram his car into the courthouse. I think it was in something like Cummings, Georgia, 35 miles outside. There's people out there that are snapping.
They losing it. Yep.
I still say that the car is a better weapon
than
a gun.
Mr. Tucker, I have a question. Ask you.
He was using the car as like his battering ram and shooting the assault rifle through the windshield.
Why didn't he just run people down in the courthouse with the car?
I'm not sure. And he had also thought beforehand to put his homemade, spike strips so that the police would be slow to respond. But the deputy... the deputy got the best of him. The deputy found a way to shoot him. Look it up. Georgia frontal assault. What's on the front page of CNN? Go ahead.
And, Mr. Talk, did you see where the lawyer and the judge got into a fight down in Florida?
Yes,
that's
I did.
Crazy.
And the people in the courtroom just sitting there looking?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That judge was denying that defendant his constitutional rights, and they should not be allowed to do that. I got into a big debate on YouTube, the YouTube video with that, and it was a long, drawn-out debate. But the defense lawyer was fighting for his client's right to have a speedy trial, which means he wasn't waiving time, and it didn't fit within the judge's calendar. The judge did everything to intimidate him, called him to the back, and attacked the defense lawyer.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know who these judges are working for.
I don't either.
Because they take an oath to follow and uphold the Constitution. And he knows damn well that your right to a speedy trial is one of your constitutional rights. It's a
try finding that oath where it's written
try finding and getting a copy of it. If you really believe that they... No, their oath of office. If you really believe that they take one, they may take one verbally, but try finding their written one. Mm. You will find that the written one doesn't exist.
Okay.
And so there's no record. You ever go to a court where there's no court reporter? Of course you have.
No, never.
Nope.
They record everything.
Lots of lower courts have no court reporter. They have no recording at all. They're called courts of no record. So what goes on there doesn't make any difference because you can appeal it, but what took place in that court is meaningless.
But I wonder what's going to happen to the judge since he started.
He got a 90-day suspension.
He should be debarred.
He should have been prosecuted for battery and put in jail.
Number one, and then number two. And taken off the bench. And
he would have, but he didn't. Okay, and honestly, I thought it was kind of quite refreshing.
And why didn't he, Eric?
I thought it was refreshing that the judge, and there were people that were saying that on the YouTube comment sections.
What?
There were people that were defending the judge.
Yeah,
Eric, do you know why the judges get away with that? Because they get away with it for the same reason that when a cop arrests you and puts you in handcuffs and you say something he doesn't like, so he kicks you in the nuts.
Right.
And then he files charges against you and claims that you assaulted him while handcuffed. And it's only when somebody with a videotape comes out and shows that no assault took place at all that what do? They drop the charges against you, but they don't file charges against the cops, do they?
Right.
Except for those two scumbags in New Jersey, the ones that assaulted the black guy on the highway. And faked it. Those are the only ones that I've ever seen that got prosecuted for their crime. And it is a crime.
Well, they prosecuted the guys out in Santa Ana that they had on tape beating the homeless white guy to death.
And they let him go.
And they prosecuted
him. What kind of jury saw that video and let these cocksuckers go?
A white Orange County pro police jury.
That's it.
The same kind of jury that Rodney, that the police officers that were originally charged with beating Rodney King.
But the Hispanic cop in the beginning of the video is seen putting on gloves, clearly saying, it's recorded, I'm going to kill you. Now, how do you get past that? I'm sorry, I don't get that.
Beats the heck out of me.
That goes to show that there's still biases and, you know, I'm not going to use the other word, that's still floating around and you get, you know, that's why they fight for it to be in certain places, you know, because they know they have a favorite jury pool. Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot, just like there's sympathy for the military, there's a lot of sympathy for the police.
Why?
People feel like the police protect them from the criminal out there, and crime is something.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that because you and I know better. But people believe that the cops are the good guys. But if you were to look at the type of crimes the cops are committing on a regular basis, everything from murder to drug dealing, I see it all the time. I read it on the net.
Yes, that's on the rise too. They're losing their ass.
I've seen corruption
and read about corruption and cops doing criminal things. There was a detective in Los Angeles named Stephanie Lazarus who 20-something years later, they arrested her, charged her, and convicted her for some guy that she was going with, broke up with her, and got with another girl, and she broke into this woman's house and killed her. And got away with it for 20-something years until they did some type of DNA thing. Her name is Lazarus, a detective of the Los Angeles Police Department.
And how about the lab technician that in San Francisco? That all the things that came, I don't know where it was, the lab technician that sent hundreds, well, no, thousands and thousands of people to jail because she said that they possessed drugs when they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. That was in Idaho?
I don't know where it was.
They caught a cop recently that raided, that was part of a raid on a medical marijuana dispensary that was operating within the law of the state of California, and he planted hard drugs in there, and they have a videotape of him planting the drugs.
You know, yeah, I saw that one too. You know what, though? That just shows how sad our society has become now. You know, a lot of these people believe that they're there to protect you, and but most of them are the bad guys setting you up. So, you know, it's just, wow, man.
Make no mistake that if a policeman initiates a conversation with you, the only reason that policeman is initiating that conversation is in the hopes of locking your ass up.
Mm.
And if you're foolish enough to speak to that policeman, if you answer their questions, then you may get locked up. I don't talk to police. I tell people all the time, you get your kids who are just starting to drive, and you get them, you get their ass in front of a YouTube, in front of a computer, and you make them watch the video, "Don't Talk to the Police" by Professor James Duane. And you make them watch it twice so that they know not to talk to the police. And why? And this is a law professor who will tell you with no certain terms that you should never talk to the police. Not hello, not what time it is, nothing. And you should never answer a question from a policeman. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are trained liars.
Okay.
Let me throw out my disclaimer. I am a troll and a liar, but once in a while I get off my thing. They are trained liars.
And you are too.
The police are trained liars. The first question, if you say to a police, look, I had a contact with police about a month and a half ago. I walked outside with the policeman, and I looked them right in the eye, and I said, in no uncertain terms am I going to answer any question that you have. I'm not talking to you beyond this, and I'm not answering any of your questions. You know what the next thing he said to me was?
What's your name?
Well, no, he said, well, why not?
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, that's a question.
Mm. All right.
Yes. I don't want to talk to you. I've had
mm-hmm.
them come to my door before because of a dispute of my neighbor, and the first thing they say, well, the first thing they do, when you look out your peephole, you don't see anybody. And they said police department. I said, I don't see anybody there. I said, I'm not going to be a victim to one of these home invasion robberies where people act like there's a police and I open the door. I said, I'm going to go back and sit down in my living room. They said, okay, well, we'll let you see me. So I looked through the peephole, and I see it. I said, nah, you couldn't be a cop because you're far too short and fat to be a cop. Cops, I know they're in better shape. So that gets them a little bit angrier, but I know that I'm safe. And they'll say, well, open the door. I want to talk to you. I said, I'm not going to open my door, and I don't want to talk to you.
All
right.
And he said
just that. Well, why not? And I continued to engage him, but and told him I didn't feel like talking to him because I don't feel safe around him. He makes me nervous.
Mm, they're going to come
I don't
get you.
Well, they don't never know who they're talking to from behind the door. This went on for a while.
Uh-huh.
And it happened a couple of other times. Eventually, a detective left a card. I shouldn't be talking about this. And I called the detective and blamed it all on my brother.
I told him
I was out of town and my brother's a jerk and likes to play with the cops and I want to apologize for him and you won't have any more problems out of this address.
Hmm. Well, I guess that's one way of doing it.
Well, this is California. I wouldn't want to do that in Texas.
No, I don't think, because they're going to come in regardless.
Well, no, they. You know who they do that stuff to? They do that stuff to poor people. I lived in a real nice building. They do that stuff to poor people, or they do that stuff to uneducated people, or people that are or people that are not going to stand up for their rights.
Mm-hmm.
They're your rights. You just have to stand up for them. Like
okay.
I said on an earlier show, When Angela Davis got arrested, do you know what she said? And they're charging her with murder and conspiracy and all kinds of stuff. Do you know what she said?
What'd she say?
Nothing.
I know you was going there.
She didn't say one word. She didn't say her name. She didn't say anything. She remained silent.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's good stuff. All right.
She ended up...
Hold up, Beasley. Hold up. You get it in on your last words, all right? All right, y'all. We got to get up out of here. Y'all know it's that time of the year, graduation. And I got one to go to, so I can't be hanging in here with y'all today. But I want to say thank you, everybody that was listening in the chat room. And if you're new to the show, follow me. You know, just go to my page and hit follow. I really would appreciate it. And you can send me emails at ericlesstalk@gmail.com. All right. So, well, of course, we let everybody get out of here. We let them get their last words in. So we're going to start with somebody that was very quiet going down the stretch, Mr. Joe himself. Joe, where you at?
I'm over here.
Yo, huh?
I'm over here.
Okay.
I have nothing to say.
Nothing to say?
No.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, and you have a great weekend. And I'll see you Monday.
Everybody else, too.
All right. All right. Now, we back to Mr. Beasley. Okay, Mr. Beasley, you can finish now. Beasley?
I'm complete.
Oh, you complete?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Have a nice day. Enjoy your graduations.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. That leaves. I don't know which phone this is. Jew, are you on this phone? I guess not. Let me use this phone then. Are you?
I'm on
Jew?
This one.
Now,
okay.
did you write down that video that I just told you about?
I didn't hear it. What was it?
It's called Don't Talk to the Police. You can search that, and you'll come up with a Professor James Duane. If you have children, make them watch it. If you have friends with children, you should convince them to make their kids watch it. Because I'm going to tell you that I watched a couple of weeks ago, after my contact with the police, which was reasons for that. I'll tell you what the reasons were. But my contact with the police, after I had that contact and I wouldn't talk to them, and they were totally flummoxed, and then witnessed the police searching the vehicle of two 16-year-old kids, boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
They hauled them off to jail. Hauled them off to jail. These kids didn't know to say to the police, no, you can't search my car. I didn't see a drug-sniffing dog anywhere near there. So these kids obviously let the police, gave them permission to search the vehicle because they didn't know that they could just say, no, you can't search my vehicle. I don't give you permission. You want to search it? Go get a warrant if you have probable cause. But they didn't say that. And meanwhile, while the one boy was in the back of the police car, the girlfriend, was there talking to Officer Friendly, and Officer Friendly was getting more information out of her, and she was flapping her gums, just telling him everything, when she should have shut up. So did you write it down? Don't talk to the police, Professor
yep,
James Duane of Regent University. It's a 20-minute presentation to a first-year law class for why you should not talk to the police. Even though you're a trained lawyer and you think you know what you're doing, you shouldn't talk to the police either.
Hmm.
And then there's another 20-minute second part of that where a police lieutenant will tell you exactly why you shouldn't talk to the police, because he'll tell you exactly what the police do when they talk to you and how they get you to say things that you wouldn't normally say. So go save your children. Go get that video. Don't put it off. Write it down. Get that video. Show it to your children. Save them.
All righty. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate the information. I will do that. All right. And last but not least, Miss Mays.
Yes, you see how you can tame Jew and he can act like he got a brain? If you ignore him and not let him take the floor, and he'll get rid of that whatever it is he has, or his written Prozac. And have a good weekend, and enjoy your graduation, Mr. Salt.
All right, thank you. Oh, man, I tell you, so much love for each other, so much love. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, co-host Akeem, what you got for me, man?
Oh, not much. Enjoy the graduation, and I wish everybody a happy and enjoyable and peaceful weekend.
Of course. All right. Thanks, man. And you have a great weekend also. Well, man, I tell you. Oh, great show. Great show. And we went over a whole lot of topics today. Kind of felt like the old show. And I like that. I told you I'm good now. I'm laughing and giggling and funny, you know. Ooh, doggy. All right. East Coast, you ain't give me no grade today, huh? Okay. That must have been really good. I ain't have to get a grade. Let me stop. Oh, man, I tell you. Man, only thing I got to say, man, get out there, enjoy your weekend, have fun. You know, take your kitties out, take your boo out. You know, just do something in the great weather. And if you have rainy weather, I'm sure you can find something to do on the inside also. Some of y'all may see me around the shows this weekend, and probably not, but I may drop in on one or two just to see how y'all handling business. All right. So don't forget, if you want to follow me, just go to my show page, hit follow, or send me an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com or hit me up on Facebook at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. And those are all the ways you can contact with me, or just send me a message right here on Blog Talk, and I'll be more than happy to answer your call. All right. I'll return your message anyway. All right, so that's going to do it for me, man, and Hakeem. And you know what? We're so glad you came today. And because you're so glad you came, we're going to let you go out here with some music today because it's the weekend and you need to get your dance on. All right? So for Hakeem, my co-host, and me, Mr. Talk, this has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. You have fun. We are out of here.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
Ready? I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Bye-bye.